Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand here. Andy Hart there. We are live from Gillette Stadium, the site of a, well, I'd like to say a victory Monday, but Patriots losing a squeaker overtime to the Seattle Seahawks. 23-20 your final score. Lots to get into today. We'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback. We'll be talking with Jonathan Jones, whose penalty in overtime played a big role there in the Seahawks getting into field goal range. We know he wasn't happy about it. We know his teammates weren't happy about it. No one's really happy about this game, except for people who had the Patriots +3.5. Other than that, everybody, there you go. Andy Hart is happy about that one. Other than that, though, around the building already, you can kind of tell. You heard it from Gerard Mayo a little bit this morning. This one hurt. This is a game that they felt they could have won. It's a game I felt they could have won. They had victory within their clutches, a couple of bad plays there, some questionable coaching decisions, bad clock management, and an offense that just cannot seem to put one foot in front of the other when it comes to passing the ball.
Yeah, this was the indication of just how fine the margin for error, or there is no margin for error for this football team, because they didn't make a ton of huge mistakes. They still ran the ball. They still controlled the time of possession. They didn't have huge turnovers. Those, you know, they did give up a big play, but they also had a big play on their own side, so those kind of washed out. They just, it's going to be close when they have winnable games. Like, they are just not going to pull away from anybody with the type of passing attack they have right now, and the, or lack of passing attack, I guess, they have right now. And I know we'll get into that later, because to me, that's one of the biggest stories of the team. Not unexpected.
Right.
I think we've been talking about this for a year plus.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, quarterback, and pass protection. Those are all questions for this team. So is it surprising that you can't really throw the football, can't make any plays down the field? And then the flip side of that is it was sort of a slap in the face, because the Seattle Seahawks could throw the ball with Geno Smith. They do have wide receivers, two guys that had double-digit catches for over 100 yards, and it was like, hey, we're not like them.
No.
We're different than them.
We're not like them, and they did not have a running game that they could lean
nope.
on. Patriots did, for whatever you think. Gibson and Stevenson both had good games.
Sure.
I thought going to Gibson when they did was a great change of pace. It worked really well. That's one of the, and we'll talk about this too, but for all the coaching mishaps there may have been, I thought he did pull a couple of good strings there. I thought Gibson at that point was a good button to push. I thought those screens to Hunter Henry early on, which, by the way, there wasn't much of a passing attack, except for Hunter Henry having the game of his life. I mean, he was out there. He was getting open. They eventually adjusted to him. It looked like right at the half, because he didn't see him really after that. And that was unfortunate. But for the first time, it seemed like Brissett and someone, anyone, were developing something there.
And the funny thing is, all summer long, there were two guys that, when they were healthy and they were on the field, Brissett went to with regularity and consistency and were the backbone of some of their successful days on the practice field.
Right.
It was Hunter Henry. So we saw that yesterday. They're comfortable. The old vets, they might not be as good as they once were, but they can still make some plays. And the other guy was DeMario Douglas. And DeMario Douglas has been on the side of a milk carton. He just has been non-existent. No targets in this game. He hasn't had the impact. Some idiot on this radio station in this time slot said the guy might catch 100 balls this year. Well, we're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit after 2 weeks. And I just, it's so disappointing in a way, because they could be 2-0. Again, an idiot who said they weren't going to win any games, they could be 2-0 right now, and unfortunately you gave one away, and I don't know how many opportunities they're going to have as good as yesterday to win football games. Like, the schedule doesn't do them any favors, and everybody circled this game, right? Winnable? This was on everybody's...
Not me, but everybody else did.
Well,
yeah.
Most people circled this game as winnable. And it was very much winnable. They just couldn't seal the deal in regulation and then in overtime.
Yeah, that's really what it came down to. There was a lot of issues, obviously, with this game, with the way it was coached, with the way it was played.
Yep.
Even on defense, you know, as good as the defense, we consider this to be a strong defense. I thought that they played mostly a good game, except in certain situations where they really broke down. And you saw that at the end of the game. You saw that at various points. That touchdown to Metcalf was a big breakdown right in front of everybody with no safety help and everybody
everybody just sort of looking the wrong direction. And, you know, listen, they only gave up 3 points in the second half, so it's tough to get too hard on the defense here. But it was a group effort. Special teams, not good. Offense, come on. And the defense, in situations where you needed them to make a stop, just weren't able to. And that's unfortunate, because you thought you could at least rely on one of those three things. Generally the defense, sometimes special teams. And, hey, even with the offense, if they can just give you enough. It wasn't quite enough today, or yesterday, I should say, and that was the difference.
And you got to 20, and I think, I don't know how many times this team is going to get to 20.
Good point.
And I think they should probably feel like, and Keon White came to the podium. It went Jacoby Brissett and Keon White. And Keon White, who sort of did his part, continued to be a thorn in the side of quarterbacks, had an early sack of Geno Smith, came to the podium and said, Jacoby just spoke, those guys did enough today. We have to do more. And that is a little different than last year, when it was guys coming to the podium saying, well, we gave up 6 points. I guess we can only give up three and try to win football
right.
games. So there was a, I would say, representative effort by the offense. It's got to be better. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. This is, you're not going to win football games just running the football in 2024. That is not a realistic approach. And I know Jerod keeps saying the same thing. We're going to run the football. You got to stop us. And they didn't. Seattle didn't. And they still won the football game. That you have to have a passing attack. And the bulk of the passing attack yesterday was Jacoby Brissett running and then kind of flipping it,
yeah.
flicking it, right? Little to a couple early ones to Hunter Henry, where he even had like an athletic pump fake and then threw it.
That play where the linebacker was like nose to nose with him and he's just yeah. flinging it out to Henry.
It's not sustainable.
No, you can't do
that. At some point, you need a regular passing attack, and they haven't. The wide receivers are non-existent in this passing game. And I know Jerod Mayo said that's on the coaches. We got to push it down the field. That's on the coaches. Sure, some of it's on the coaches. Some of it is on the pass protection, mm-hmm. which we talked about it last week. It got overblown. I know Jerod doesn't like, we are overblowing the offensive line. Basically, 50% of the time last week, you were under pressure. 50% of the time again this week, you're under pressure.
Yep.
It's not quite as bad as the Bears and Caleb Williams, but it's not very good right now. And then you mix in the questionable talent chemistry at wide receiver with K.J. Osborne, Demario Douglas, Javon Baker was
Tyquan
active
Thornton
this week, Tyquan Thornton.
Didn't see him once.
You don't have anybody where you say, my guy's going to win. I'm just going to this guy on this play, which I think that's be Demario Douglas personally, but they clearly don't feel that way or haven't schemed things up that way. And I also don't know how sustainable it is to continue to ask Ramondre Stevenson to just carry the load. We're
right.
going to need you to carry the ball at least 15 or 20 times every game. I'm going to need you to get us 100 yards. I don't think it's sustainable. I really don't. And I think he's been really good through two games. I think if everybody was doing their job the way Ramondre Stevenson is doing his, this would be a 2-0 football team that we'd be talking about outperforming its talent and increasing expectations. Instead, lost opportunity. Sort of like that Alex Cora wasted days.
Yeah.
Red Sox have wasted days. The New England Patriots wasted a day yesterday because they could be 2-0.
They could be 2-0 trying to go 3-0 against the Jets on Thursday. Short week coming up here. What was the biggest problem with the Patriots yesterday? There's a lot you can choose from. The coaching, the O-line, the wide receivers, Jacoby Brissett, situational football, special time. I mean, really, you pick one. What do you think the biggest problem was?
I am going to go with coaching. Because I don't know that any one aspect of the coaching was horrific,
mm-hmm.
but it just seemed like they kind of got across the board somewhat outcoached, right? The key field goal, they have a nice block, you don't have a good protection. That's coaching,
yep.
right? That's a failure in coaching.
Those happen very infrequently, though. I always consider those to be kind of fluky when
but
that
it happens.
But it did happen.
It
yep.
happened.
Yep.
Offensively, you know, Jacoby Brissett said something I found really interesting, and we'll get into it with him later when we speak with him, that he felt like they had tells for when we wanted to push the ball down the field. Every time we were trying to go down the field, they had a too-high safety look. Are you really tipping your scheme? Are you tipping your plays formationally or whatever?
Well, how creative can they even get?
You know? Yeah, no, I don't know. And then defensively, one of the biggest plays of the game was a miscommunication in terms of a blitz package, a pressure package with Duggar and Gonzalez, and somehow you let the most dangerous guy on the football. This always amazes me. These teams spend 7 days preparing.
I know.
And hours and hours and hours, and they let the most dangerous guy on the football field just run down the field. If you're going to make a mistake, isn't it, well, I'll run with him, and if they catch something short, hopefully one of my teammates will tackle. I always find that ridiculous. Like, the most dangerous guy on the field, and you leave him uncovered for a 50-plus yard touchdown. But those things add up, and I'm not saying it was ineptitude, because we haven't seen ineptitude. Quite honestly, I thought the beginning of the season would be worse in coaching.
I thought the whole thing would be much worse.
And
than
it's not.
See, even yesterday, I mean, I thought it was going to be much
worse.
They're
competitive.
Yeah.
They're competent.
Yep.
They're putting together a representative effort out there. Just week one, they were able to play it more on their terms, and the breaks went their way.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people that believe in this game, mostly with the officiating, that the breaks didn't go their way. Now, I don't really like to play that game because I think there was bad officiating on both sides yesterday, that both teams – I think the losing team was going to bitch about something.
If Jonathan Jones comes in here, I don't know if he's coming in here or not. He called last week. If he comes in here, I'm going to have to because I thought that was pass interference.
At first glance,
watched it. I was like, oh, man, that's pass interference. They throw the flag. He's losing his mind, and he doesn't freak out like that.
No.
Like, he's not one of those guys just, you know, crying on every play.
Well, I don't know.
I've never seen him do that.
I don't know how quickly he freaked out because Lockett said that wasn't pass interference.
Right.
Well, and obviously you're going to flip out because the other guy's telling me it really wasn't a flag. I already think it kind of wasn't a flag. I thought at first glance
they were
live,
holding each other.
I thought it was pass interference.
They were slow dancing.
And when you're fighting and fighting and fighting, and then the ball's in the air, I thought the last bit of fighting was Jonathan Jones' side of the fight, and that changes it. And there was a number of controversial pass interference calls across the NFL yesterday. I know late in the Bengals Chiefs game, there was one that a lot of Patriots fans were bitching about. I watched that after I got off the Six Rings post game show and said, "That's pass interference. The ball's in the air, and you hit the guy before the ball got there. You can't do that. It's literally letter of the law." But my point is, good teams overcome that. Bad teams lose. That's just the reality of it. There was bad officiating for decades here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, you had Tom Brady overcoming it. Now, that fine line is so close. You could have lost to the Bengals had one of those breaks not gone your way. You did lose to the Seahawks, maybe in part because those breaks didn't go your way.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. And there were a bunch of breaks that you got in that first game. So, yeah, I don't think that you didn't see a touchdown get overturned. You didn't see a guy running in with the ball out and have it slapped out. You didn't see somebody not pull an interception away.
I didn't see anything because the Fox broadcast was awful.
Well, there was that, too.
Because
yeah.
I still want to know what happened on the Ramondre Stevenson fumble.
Mm.
There was just like this fumble that like, nope, yeah, somebody recovered it. You're fine. Like, you see the ball just blatantly flying through the air.
Yeah.
And I guess they must have been one of those.
I didn't know if he was down. I didn't know anything.
Well, he definitely wasn't down before the ball was out. And then where was the ball? Was he on it? Who recovered it? Was it an lineman? And this felt like one of those games where you regret being a crappy team because you get a crappy broadcast, which has half the cameras or whatever the percentage less cameras, so they don't have replay reviews. Because there were a bunch of them. There was the play where DK Metcalf hurdled Jonathan Jones, and they're trying to show you whether he crosses the first down, and there was like one angle, and it was the worst possible angle.
It was like a bird's eye, like diagonal
and
view,
I think,
and you're like, all right, that doesn't help.
And that's why I think the ref said something to like, the call on the field stands, because I can't see crap in that stupid box they showed me, because we only got two cameras on this low-budget operation here for Fox.
Right. Not a great day for, as he was called by Jonathan Vilma several times, Gerard Mayo out there.
Wiggy taught him well.
That was
thanks, Wiggy.
That was unfortunate.
Spreading.
I think the biggest thing I saw people complaining about anyway online, and I sort of had a problem with it too, obviously, was the clock management at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Going with pass there on second and third down in your own end, not making them use any timeouts. That was 3 points that you can't get back, obviously. I didn't have a huge, huge issue with that. I really didn't.
Oh, I hated it.
I didn't love it, but I also think that even if you would run and they'd use their timeouts, they're getting the ball back with, what, 45 seconds? They don't have to score a touchdown. If they're getting in field goal range, that's enough time to do that against this Patriots team.
Right, but they weren't great with their situational football either, and they
might
have screwed it up. So you didn't put any pressure on them, and it was interesting because it was classic. The Patriots have done this for years, regardless who the coordinator was. You run a little draw on that first play, and it's like, well, if we get a few yards, we'll go for it here.
Right.
If we get nothing, then we'll probably just run the ball and try to kill clock. Well, they only got 2 yards, and then they decided to throw the ball. It was kind of counterintuitive. They tried to middle it there, and generally when you try to middle it, you screw it up. And they screwed it up, and they gave Seattle the opportunity to take advantage, and they did.
I think they caught Seattle off guard a little bit. They still defended the play and stopped it, but I did think there was sort of an element to surprise it because everybody thought they were going to run. So I didn't – I mean, it was in the grand scheme of things. They probably should have, I guess, but I don't know. They would have had the ball back. They could have gotten field goal range. Overall, I liked the play calling in the first half on offense. So
same.
I wasn't going to complain about it too much. They got creative. They put a few very very long drives together. You know, they scored on three of the first five drives that they had. Like, that was all good. You know, that was all good stuff. Like, things that I watched and thought, you know, there's some progression going on here. This offense seems to be evolving. And then the second half started, and that didn't seem to be the case anymore.
Yeah, the second half. Like,
that was it.
Didn't really involve a ton of offense from either team in scoring and lighting up the scoreboard. And you get back to just the limitations of what this offense is, what it's going to be. The offensive line issues are – there's so many things about this team that are kind of exactly what we projected it to be, right? I know people don't want to hear victory laps by the media, especially if the victory lap revolves around sort of negative thoughts or problems with the team, but –
they had no problem doing a week one victory lap.
Oh, 100%.
But wait, no, God forbid any of us do.
I mean, there were some people doing victory laps yesterday telling me how good Christian Gonzalez is. I don't want to hear that after you allow 330 and 200-yard receivers in a loss at home in a game you should have won.
Everyone keeps pointing to the Metcalf numbers. It's like, yeah, well, he was out there for
whatever.
A lot of yards from both of those guys.
And you lost.
Yeah.
And they, Geno Smith made you his you-know-what. For the most part,
Geno Smith led the NFL in passing yards.
Well,
so far, I mean, there's another game tonight, but so far he's the leader.
So how about we keep the victory laps for Christian Gonzalez's development until another day or later in the week or just something else? Because in the course of the game, Seattle threw the ball when they needed to throw the ball, and that's why they won the game. They didn't have a running back, and you held them very much in check, under 2.4 yards a carry or something like that, under 50 yards rushing. The pass defense, no one on the pass defense, even though Keon White, I liked him. Having a little pressure. I didn't think there was enough pressure in totality.
They started doubling him, and that was
right.
It. I don't think Geno was in trouble once the whole second half.
Right, and that's part of the problem, and that's where the evolution of that defense, and it's what we talked about when everybody was talking about, oh, this defense is going to win games on its own. Is it? Did it win the game on its own yesterday? There was a game winnable for the defense yesterday.
Yeah.
And it couldn't. It couldn't do it when it needed to make stops. It couldn't get the stops it needed, and gave up just a ton of yards through the air, and just that... that juxtaposition between the two teams and what they did, even though we remember coming in, it was all mirror image talk.
Right.
Oh, they got a young defensive coach replacing a Hall of Famer, just like we got a young defensive coach replacing a Hall of Famer. And in some ways, it felt like a game coached by two young defensive coaches.
It did, but I thought they made adjustments.
They did.
I mean, and their adjustments were noticeable.
Gerard admitted that, too, that they adjusted quicker than we did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Mike McDonald and his staff 1, Gerard Mayo and his staff 0 in this game. And, again, it's not train wreck city, but it's the difference between winning and losing. It's the small factors in all three phases of the game that I think cost them in the end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Any silver linings you take away from this game?
Silver linings.
There's some, I think. It wasn't all bad.
I mean, I'll take Keon White and the way he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he gets double teamed and teams start taking him away, that's a net advantage. Having a guy like that on the field that other teams need to scheme for.
Yeah.
We talked about it. You lost your two guys that are like that. You traded Judon, and Barmore is not available. So to add a guy, now, the dream would be like, huh, imagine if Barmore was out there. That'd be great. They couldn't double both of them, blah, blah, blah. But to have a guy like that, that benefits the rest of the group. So that's a silver lining. The running backs are a silver lining. So far, they especially this week for Antonio Gibson, the totality of 2 weeks for Ramondre Stevenson, if they stay healthy, they look like a team because of their running backs, more than because of their line, are going to be able to run the football. That's a silver lining.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett didn't get killed when I thought at times it looked like he might not get up.
I thought he was going to be getting carted off. Like,
that's a silver lining
after
for
that
him.
Leonard Williams sack, I was like, he was like screaming and reaching for his leg. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
looks like it's Mayday.
I thought broken. Immediately there, because it almost looked like it went like dangly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's not good.
And that first, the first sack where he got chased down and like pulled down from behind, I was like, well, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
A couple of ugly
and
ones.
I know
we'll ask him how he's feeling when he gets
here. Some people, for better or worse, fair or not fair, were hoping for it. Some people were hoping that the Drake May time begins. I don't know that I'm really there yet. Like, if I go back to the first half, Jacoby Brissett running around and throwing was productive.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
It was the best he looked throwing the ball at all.
I dare say entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entertaining first half of offense from Jacoby Brissett and that group.
A wide receiver caught a touchdown pass?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I mean,
it's the only one of three catches they made in the whole game.
Then the wide receivers went to Chuck E. Cheese and celebrated because they did not play the rest of the way, apparently, because they were non-existent.
No, they really were not. So a couple of silver linings. My silver lining is basically the offense, I thought, was very, very rough. I thought the defense made some huge mistakes. The special teams was bad.
Wait, these are silver linings? Do you not know what silver lining means?
Will you let me finish, please?
Oh, because it's a lot of negative lead-in.
All of that happened, and they still had a chance to win. All of that happened, and they were still a field goal away. yes, before I was interrupted so rudely, that all of that went wrong, and they still maintain, you know, they didn't turn the ball over, which, again, is something I think you're going to see a lot of this year.
Well, they didn't
a lot of
factually.
Games where they don't do it, yeah.
Ramondre dropped the ball, and I don't know where it went.
And something happened, but we'll never know the truth of that. But, yeah, like, they didn't, it wasn't, there weren't a whole lot of horrible plays where you watch it and just said, oh my God, this team's hopeless. This team has no chance. I watched that game thinking, man, things aren't really going right for them in a lot of different aspects, and they're keeping it close, and they're a tough out. And that's really what this season's going to be about, I think. This is a tough draw of a team. I don't think anyone's going to have a real easy time with them. They may have games that they lose by a couple of scores, but this is a competitive team. They're going to be there.
And physical.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think the tackling was as good. They were ridiculously good in Cincinnati in terms of tackling. It wasn't nearly as good. Like, there was one from Gonzalez that bothered me on Charbonnet, where Gonzalez dove at his legs short of the sticks,
right,
and he was able to just kind of fall lunge forward for the first down. You got to actually hit him there. You got to try to wrap him up and prevent him from getting to the marker. But in general, this team's going to hit you. This team is going to compete. And guys like Peppers and Jonathan Jones continues to hit a little bit.
Yeah.
For a guy that isn't overly large, he's not afraid to throw his body around.
Jabril Peppers was doing flips and stuff. Like, he was all over the place.
Not sure that was productive.
I don't actually ever saw him hit anybody.
Right. Like,
he was
like, there's a pile, and he just dove over the pile, and I was like, what was the point of that?
It's like Cirque du Soleil. He's like just flying.
You didn't even grab,
like,
oh, the guy with the ball. But I appreciate the effort. It might be a little gym hero try-hardy, but they're going to hit people.
He's got the Guardian cap. That's why. He feels like he can do anything.
I wanted to – he was talking about – did you hear him talking about he was wondering how hot it was going to be because there's no holes in it?
In the
and
Guardian
I had never
cap?
Thought of that. Because there's holes in your helmet. There's the two ear holes,
the ear
and then there's
right,
a few
sure,
other
yeah.
– and those have no holes.
Does the cap cover the ear holes?
It covers everything, yeah.
It does.
So
okay,
I bet you it makes it hot in there.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, the potential gains, theoretical gains in protecting your head might be worth it.
Might be.
Or
unless you're diving headfirst into the ground on every play.
Or here's an idea. Just put holes in the Guardian cap where the holes in the helmet are.
That could work.
Let a little airflow.
Then again, I'm not a brain doctor, so I don't know. I don't know these things.
Oh, I'm not either, but I'm also, if you cut a hole in it, then the air will go through the hole.
That does stand, you know, even...
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist either, but that does make sense. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We are live here at Gillette Stadium. We'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett at some point in the afternoon. Penciled in at 3 o'clock. Who knows when that'll actually be. Also, Jonathan Jones will join the show at 4 o'clock. We got a lot more to get to here, including some questionable coaching mistakes that we saw over the course of all four quarters of that game yesterday. We'll do that right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, live here at Gillette Stadium in their beautiful new studio. I know it's only the second time we've been here, but each time I get caught up in just the majesty of this place.
Majesty?
The majesty of this place.
Quit sucking up.
It's really something.
You already got the job.
I know. It's not. It's just I really like it in here. I want to live here. I put a little bed right over there. I could live here.
That's a little awkward.
There's food. You know, I could eat. I could survive in here for at least a month.
We need something on that TV.
Yeah.
Like our logo.
In the old one, there was TV playing, you know, yeah, NFL Network all the time. Now we got, like, outer space, whatever this is. I don't know. Anyway, that was Jerod Mayo, who you heard this morning on the Greg Hill Show. That was him after the game yesterday, though, talking about how it's a game you learn things from. They weren't on their P's and Q's, and he said that is 100% his fault. He placed the blame on himself, taking full responsibility. What was the biggest coaching error, would you say, of the game yesterday?
The biggest coaching error, I am going to say not adjusting in the passing game, not finding now. And I don't know how much of that is on him, because he keeps saying we got to get the ball down the field. That's on us as coaches. But he's also famously said that Alex Van Pelt is the head coach of the offense. So
right,
that's, and then I always throw in the addendum of, and Ben McAdoo and whatever he is doing or consulting or contributing to this collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
But the inability to adjust anything offensively through the air and find any easy throws, easy plays, trick play. I don't even know what you want to go to. I keep going back to, and it sounds like he keeps going back to, DeMario Douglas in the locker room is venting a little bit, and I think we'll effort to get some of that audio potentially, but he's frustrated. Fans are frustrated.
A little early for him to be this frustrated, isn't it?
Especially.
It's week two.
I don't mean to go over the line, but who the F is DeMario Douglas?
He's taking this very personally.
First of all, you're a
sixth-round pick who came out of nowhere, and people like you. I mean, listen,
yeah.
People want to see more of you. That's true. But don't turn him off now by being an a-hole.
Keyshawn Johnson, just give me the damn ball kind of thing. What'd you catch, like 40-something balls last year? You were a little banged up at times. I don't know. I would put that in. Just keep your mouth shut. People want to see. I think the team wants to see him catch the ball.
Yeah.
It's not like they're.
Wouldn't know it from the game.
No, I know. Yeah. But don't you think they want to get him involved and that there's
a way
to get him involved? And it's not like he's in a contract dispute or you think, they're screwing me. They're keeping my numbers down. No. You're a second-year receiver on a team that most people kind of penciled you in as the number one.
Right.
By default. Until at least Kendrick Bourne comes back, maybe. So I think he might want to reevaluate his approach to this. He's emotional. Like, there's no doubt about it, good and bad. We've seen that. If you watch his press conferences throughout the summer, he brings a certain energy to everything, but it's usually upbeat and positive.
Right.
This is definitely a negative energy, and very, very quickly, they've lost one game. And you're worried about, are you worried about your personal numbers? Is that what this is about? You know, you got to be careful how you handle this.
If he dropped a ball in the end zone, right? And that lost the game for him, and he didn't want to talk to the media. I wouldn't love that, but I'd get it. You know, okay, it was your big play. You blew it. You're the one that people are blaming, and that's going to be the thing we talk about all next week, and you don't want to get into it right now. Fine. You don't really, you know, like, it's not like you were the only wide receiver that didn't get a look yesterday, Pop. No one did. Like, some guys didn't even get targeted.
And you're not, again, you're not Stephon Diggs. You're not whoever you think you are coming off X straight 100-catch seasons or X straight 1,000-yard seasons. You're trying to find your way in this offense, and this offense is trying to find its way in general.
Yeah.
Figure out what it is, and Alex Van Pelt. So,
well, sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease, too. I mean, that's, you know, if a guy...
Depends how good the wheel is.
It depends on that, sure, but I mean... Look,
sometimes the wheel gets replaced and shipped out of town because the wheel's a pain in the ass.
Well, this is the best wheel on this car.
Are we still talking about wheels?
I think we are, yeah. if you're rotating the tires on this one, this is the tire you want, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tyquan Thornton.
What about Tyquan Thornton?
He could be the guy that should be getting the ball if they want to push the ball down the field.
Okay, but Pop Douglas in his rookie years had a better season than all of Tyquan Thornton's career. So.
But within reason.
Fine. I understand that. But I also think it's good that he wants the ball more. Like, there's a part of
that. Oh, I love
that
he wants the ball. But sulking after the game, shirking your responsibilities as a professional, and that does annoy me. It's annoyed me since I covered, you know, locker rooms, post-games, week to week. Like, that's part of your job.
Yeah.
Because I know you're going to come out here and talk when you have a big game. As I said on Twitter, he would have been at the podium if he had had 8 catches for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns, right? He would have been at the podium. He would have been on the fifth quarter and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get the ball, so you're not even going to talk to the media? Like, grow up. Be a professional.
I'm with you. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got full phone lines right now. So let's go ahead and get it started with David in the car, who has the take of the day that the defense is to blame for this loss. David, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, I do believe they are to blame. See, this is the thing. I know we're all excited. We all want to watch, you know, Drake May. I understand. But, you know, the thing is, we need to stop blaming Brissett. We need to blame the defensive coordinator and the defense for allowing, you know, a team that had the lead going into the end of the fourth with a little over 2 minutes left, and they allow them to get within yardage to score a field goal. That's unacceptable. Throughout the game, yes, New England had many mistakes that they made as well.
David,
but defense, at the
David,
end of the
real
day,
quick. The defense in the second half allowed 3 points. That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is pretty good. But
in
but
the whole
thing
half.
It's when to allow extra points. It's not just only allowing three. It's when it's crucial at the end of the game, that's when you cannot allow it. This is why we lost Super Bowls. You know, the 18-0 season, because defense allowed things to happen.
Right.
They didn't step up when they needed to.
David, thanks for the call. Appreciate
but
it.
But I would argue, so from, I have the game book open, 3rd and 6 on the Seattle 21, 4:44 to play, through the field goal with 58 seconds to play, all three phases sucked.
Yeah.
The gotta have it portion of the game. And that came down to the gotta have it.
Yeah.
3rd and 6 offensively. Get the first down. If you don't get the first down, please don't get sacked and make the field goal far less makeable. And then field goal, well, it's 48 yards in 2024 is not exactly a bomb, an unmakeable kick. I know Joey Sly is still trying to prove himself, and he's been hitting the 30-somethings. Now he's got a 40-something. Then you have bad protection. They block that. And then that's where I agree with David. If you're really going to be an elite defense, if you're really going to be the reason this team can surprise and win games,
yeah,
which is what a lot of people told me, from Mina Kimes's of the world on national media to local fans and homers and Patriots, everybody told me this defense might be good enough to win games on its own. You're in your gotta-have-it portion. You didn't get it.
Yep.
You gave up the points. And I agree with you, too.
Yeah.
Like, they only gave up 3 points, but they gave up the gotta-have-it points after the special teams screwed the gotta-have-it play after the offense screwed the gotta-have-it play. So they went through a terrible gotta-have-it series there of plays.
Yeah, they didn't have any of it.
And that situational execution, that
right.
It's got to be better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that Belichick's Patriots used to pride themselves on when Tom Brady was here. The last 4 years, I'd say it probably wasn't quite as good, but it is something that they talked about a lot, and Gerard Mayo was part of that coaching staff. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's something that they do have to certainly improve on. The question is, do they have the bodies for it. And on defense, I think they do. On defense, I think they should feel comfortable or confident anyway that they can go out there and make those type of stops. On offense, not really at all. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. Full phone lines right now. We'll get to more from you next. That was Hunter Henry earlier today with Jones and Keefe. Asked about that 4th-and-1 play in overtime. They went for it on 3rd-and-1. Obviously, you go for it on 3rd-and-1. And got stuffed. 4th-and-1. A lot of people thought they might try and jam it up the middle again, and instead they punted to the Seahawks, who ended up marching down the field with the help of a defensive pass interference penalty. They got him into field goal range, drilled the field goal, and that was that. I think people are kind of split on that play and what they should have done, but Derek in New Hampshire certainly is not. Derek, what should they have done?
I thought they absolutely should have went for it.
Okay.
Are you there?
Oh, we're here. Yeah. Why should they have gone for it?
Yeah. I mean, the running game was good for the most part, and I think there was too much to lose. If they would have made it, I feel they would have won.
Okay, thanks for the call, Derek. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
It's an interesting one.
It didn't
bother me at all.
I didn't have a problem with them
punting. I think the safe pick, the safe bet is to punt. But I will say we've compared Gerard Mayo and Dan Campbell a little bit. Dan Campbell probably goes for that, right? He did a fake punt
from his
end the other
day. Dan Campbell, yes, he probably does, yes.
And if you're going to be a team that says, we're going to run the football, you got to stop us, isn't that an opportunity to really invest in your run game and really sort of put it on display for the whole – like, that's a put your big you-know-whats on the table and
yes.
Show the world kind of moment.
It is. It would have been. And I think that if they had finished off that drive in the fourth quarter – where Gibson had that long run and then they got pushed out of field goal range. You could hear it. They were talking about it in the broadcast. They're like, ooh, I know what it's like to be on a defense where the other team's just running it down your throat. And then the Seahawks stopped them.
Right.
They stopped them 2 straight runs, and that was it. And then they had the sack, and then they had the kick. So, like, you know, I was watching that. I watched them get stuffed on 3rd-and-1, and I was thinking about it, too. I was like, oh, 4th down, they maybe could go for it here. But if they don't get it, and they give the Seahawks the ball on the 39-yard line instead of punting it and letting your defense, who is still the best part of your team, whether or not they had a great situational game, that's still the best part of your
yep.
team. They only gave up 3 points the entire second half. That's who you should have out there trying to make a stop and get the ball back and try and kick your own field goal. I had no problem with that at all.
And the other factor that may have played in, I don't know if it did, they had the penalty on 3rd down,
right,
where they had the formational issue with Caden Wallace and they were in an unbalanced, and he didn't report, and he was uncovered, whatever. I wonder if that played into it. Like, we just had a short yardage play. That probably was what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue whether that was too cute. You know, I heard Keith earlier talk about maybe go back to the Ramondre Wildcat direct snap that
right.
you used on the goal line that seemed to work. You had, but I do wonder if the dysfunction of the 3rd down play played a thought into, like, yeah, we're not ready for this. Like, the game is on the line. We have a good defense. Because that's the other factor. Gerard Mayo's talked about 2 things. We're going to lean on our run game. We're going to lean on our defense.
Yep.
So 2 of the things that you think are the strengths of your team are in play there. You chose the defense. I don't think it's dumb. I think it's the safe play. I really do think it was a safe play. Now, The Seahawks went whatever. 8 plays, 71 yards, game over, drive home safely.
Yeah, that's basically it. But you know what? If they had gone for it on 4th and 1, first of all, who's to say they would have ever gotten into field goal range anyway? That just would have gotten them a first down right then.
Oh, yeah.
If they got stuffed, then it's over. It's immediately over right then.
Correct.
And everyone's saying, why the hell didn't you give your defense a chance? You're not
defense
so...
is the best part of your team. What are you idiots doing?
That's probably what I would have been
defensive
saying.
Defensive coach my ass.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's what the offense wasn't, and even the run game, which was good, wasn't operating on such a high level that you know you're picking up that fourth down.
Like, nope.
No way.
Because guess
your
what?
Own end, no way.
If you were operating on a high level, you would have picked up the third down.
Exactly. That's a good point. 617-779-7937. Let's try Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, guys. I'm going to have to say... Okay, yes. Relax.
No, Paul,
relax.
It's funny. You just took a deep, deep breath.
You sounded like Darth Vader before
you're like,
you started talking.
All right, here we go. I'm going to tell you what I think about this. It's funny. Anyway, go on.
Listen, I smoke, so, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, whatever.
If I didn't smoke, I'd go more Patriots games.
Smoke what?
But I'm going to – I did enjoy yesterday's game. But I'm going to say this. That call and that 56-yard bomber killed us yesterday. And I'm still sticking with the Patriots, the 6-7 to 8 wins.
You're talking about the pass interference penalty in overtime. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, young guy. I'm going to look at it this way. The guy did his job. But the point is, the Ziva brothers, you know, they screw up the whole NFL. They actually screwed Dallas. They got killed yesterday, okay, because I saw – all the games.
Dallas what? Didn't. That wasn't the ref. Thanks for the call, Paul. But the Dallas didn't get killed because of the refs yesterday. They got killed because Alvin Kamara put them over their knee and spanked them. That's what happened.
But I'm with Paul. The refs aren't very good. In most games, they make mistakes. That's my whole point. Is if you let it ruin you, if you let it be the deciding factor, it will be. You have to beat the other team, and you have to give yourself a little margin for error to overcome mistakes, plays, errors, whatever of your own doing or the referee is doing. So I don't like doing that because for years I listened to it on the other side. When the Patriots were the Chiefs, because right now everyone's bitching about the Chiefs. Oh,
right.
The Chiefs always get the calls, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, they did get one.
Let's get the memes of the jersey swap at the end of the game with Mahomes and the ref, or the Mahomes making out with the ref, or the ref with the red jersey. They all made their way into my feed. You used to be that team. Those teams take advantage of their opportunities. Other teams get those. They just don't take advantage of them.
Seahawks were whistled for 6 penalties. You were only whistled for 3. So it wasn't even like
but
there was
they were
a big
bigger.
Discrepancy or anything.
They were the game on the line.
Definitely bigger. I mean, yeah, it was that play down at the end. But like, it's not like there was some big slant towards Seattle in terms of flags. There just weren't.
And I thought you got away with some.
Yeah.
There was a play early in the second half. I don't know if you remember it. DK had a terrible drop over the middle. And Kyle Duggar put the crown of his helmet right on his chin, and I could not believe there was not an unnecessary roughness. If it was college, it would have been targeting, ejection, and you're suspended for the following week.
If it was Tyler Lockett, I bet that that would have been the case.
Maybe. You know? The big guy, little
guy
thing.
He's a big guy. They don't call that type of thing.
It's a possibility.
Did you just say so Jonathan Jones is on the line right now?
That's right.
Should we take him right now or should we go to break?
I believe we should take him right now.
All right, let's take him right now. Jonathan Jones joins us here on WEEI Afternoons. Jonathan Jones is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan, have you gotten a call from the league today? I think everybody wants to know. Is anybody giving you a hit up your phone there?
No. It's only 2 of the 3 people that on the field on Sundays are responsible for vaccinations, and that's coaches and players. So that won't happen.
Is it safe to say you've gone back and watched the film and still feel the same way you did after the game?
Yeah. I mean, I call myself, you know, a critic of myself, and there's something that I could do better. Like on every play, I'm always looking, you know, to improve, and, you know, I still haven't quite found out, you know, what else I could have done.
All right, well, Jonathan, explain it to a layman then what you saw there, because I was watching the game on TV like most people. It seemed like there was contact. It seemed like you guys were making contact with each other. What did you sort of see on that play, and can you tell us again what Tyler Lockett said to you after the play?
Yeah, I mean, we were both, you know, kind of at the same point, you know, at the catch point. I looked back, made a play on the ball. And, you know, that's kind of what I saw from my perspective. And, you know, after the game, you know, we kind of spoke and talked, and it was just, he was basically saying, you know, hey, they can't call that.
In a weird way, does that make you feel better or worse?
No, I think, I kind of expected it. I already knew that, you know. It just is what it is. It's no moral victories in it, you know, but it's part of it.
Once you guys saw that it seemed like Geno was leaning on the pass game in particular to Smith and Jigba and also Metcalf, not so much Lockett. It seemed like that was sort of later on in the game. Once you saw that there was really zeroing in on those two, what kind of adjustments did you guys try to make?
I think we just kind of wanted to play a little bit more man. I think, you know, Geno's a veteran quarterback. You know, there were some zone plays where we were able to sit back and, you know, find guys open. We kind of knew they weren't going to have a run game or kind of were up in the air with their run game with the running back being out.
Conference by Jacoby Brissett, and the first thing he said was, that guy in the offense did enough to win today. We need to do more defensively. Do you agree with that sentiment, even though you guys, you know, held them basically to a field goal in the second half? Do you feel like that's a game where the defense needs to do more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody across the board, you know, starting with defense, you know, we're defensive players. That's our job description. And our job is to go out there and stop them from scoring, you know, and we weren't able to do that. I think, you know, across the board, you know, just as a team, there's always, you look back and you watch the film, there's plays, you know, from offense, defense, special teams that we're always going back. But, yeah, as far as defensive perspective, there's a lot more we could have done.
Jonathan, you guys had a rough season last year at Gillette Stadium, going 1-7. How was the crowd yesterday? Did it seem like the environment was different maybe than it was last year?
Oh, man. I mean, we were trying to be optimistic, you know, coming off a week one win and just get the crowd into it. And I think, you know, we fought hard. The crowd was there. They, you know, they were engaged. They were supportive. And that's all we asked for. So it's up for us, you know, to get back to winning and win back at, you know, at home. There's no better feeling than winning at home in front of your fans.
I don't mean to make you the spokesman of the defense and the penalty explainer as they have on every broadcast, but the Marco Wilson pass interference in the end zone, I know a lot of people question whether that's a catchable ball. Did you watch that one on film, and what's your view of that call that maybe didn't go your way?
I mean, once again, I think, you know, it's been a debate in the league for some years as far as who's, you know, back and forth between pass interference as far as reviewable, not reviewable. And so I think that it'll be something the league will try to continue to address, you know, with, you know, reviewing calls like that, that, you know, we can go back and see.
All right, you got a short week coming up here. Jets, a team that just got their first win with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Have you already started game planning for them, and how do you expect this short week's going to go in terms of preparation for a division team, a team you got a long-time rivalry with?
Yeah, I mean, it's a division game. It's a big game for us. In those short weeks, you always know teams are going to come in, you know, with simple game plans, and fundamentals are going to be key on both sides of the ball. Basically in all three phases, it's playing good fundamental football. I think a team will try to sneak in a wrinkle, you know, in there to surprise the team or try to see something on film that you did or didn't do well in the first 2 weeks and try to exploit that, you know, in a short week.
So we went from Jamar Chase to DK Metcalf. Now you get Garrett Wilson. What's the scouting report on the Jets' number one receiver?
Oh, man, he's athletic, and I think – you know, him and Aaron Rodgers are still building their relationship. He's dynamic, and having a dynamic, you know, passer get you the ball and believe in you allows him to make a lot of plays.
How about going up against Rodgers? I know you haven't seen much of him being in the NFC and everything, but in the times that you have, what are some of the challenges he poses when you're out there?
Composure. You know, it's not too many times you line up. And the guy's been in the league for as long as he has. And just the composure that he has as a quarterback, always believing in himself. The amount of confidence that he has, you don't always see that. He knows that he can make every throw, you know, and every play he believes he can make.
I feel like we always ask this question for Thursday Night Football short week. Is it a bigger challenge mentally or physically? And I'll ask you that as you age. Does the answer to that change? Was it maybe a little easier to bounce back when you were younger? Is it a physical challenge as you get a little older?
I mean, these are tough games, and so recovery is a big part, you know, of the NFL is how quick you can bounce back. And so on these short weeks, it's always hard, you know, mentally and physically to you're trying to crunch, you know, the whole week of film study into 2 days, and, you know, you're not really as physical because you're trying to, you know, turn around and play soon. So I think it's who can mentally lock in and physically recover, you know, in those few days. It always has an advantage coming to the quick games on Thursday.
We're talking with Jonathan Jones of the Patriots. Jonathan, on the Metcalf touchdown, I know you're on the other side of the field, but what did you see there? Where did the breakdown happen?
Scheme. I think that was a scheme call. You know, they kind of had an answer to something that we do, and so I credit them to having that on their scouting report and being prepared for it.
Is anything more challenging given that this is Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington and Alex Van Pelt's kind of first month running the show here in terms of the short week and the evolution and where you are as a team here?
No. I think, you know, it's on us as the players to come in, get the information, and take care of our bodies and do what we need to do to be ready on Thursday. I think if we can come in and do that, we'll go out on Thursday and have a good night.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Jonathan Jones, thanks so much for the time today, and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.